I'm Susie from MERP, and I'm here with all the members of American Overdose on this very special night. It's their CD release party for the Great American Dream. I've got Cody, Brick, Brandon, Pito, and Human, and a surprise sixth member that we'll talk to in a little bit. It's an exciting night for you guys. Tell me how you guys are feeling.
I'm stoked. Fucking badass, honestly.
Beyond excited. I feel like Portland's about to see our child that we've been holding back for about 4 years be born in front of their fucking eyes, and that, to me, is ultra special for us, so.
Super exciting.
Awesome. For the fans who aren't here tonight, and there's going to be a ton of fans here tonight, but for those who aren't, how can they get the CD?
You can go on AmericanOverdose.bandcamp.com. You can go on CD Baby. We are working right now with iTunes and Amazon to get that. There's a little bit of delay there, but best thing you can do right now is CD Baby and Bandcamp.
What about off your site?
American Overdose will lead you to Bandcamp. So you can go to AmericanOverdose.com. You can go to Facebook.com/AmericanOverdose. And for you guys that are curious about how it's spelled, it's AmericanOverdose.
So this album, when I was listening to it, I listened to it about five times today. It sounds bright and full and expensive. Tell me about the recording process.
All right. Frankly, the recording process, we took our time with it. We didn't want to rush anything. We started out with all the pre-production and instrumentation and then brought Cody in and did all the vocals and then kind of went back over the instrumentation and just made sure everything felt really polished and constantly compared our favorite bands to what we were doing and made sure that we sounded as good or better than the things that we admired.
One of the things about American Overdose is you guys are totally uncensored. Say whatever you want to say, lyrics, you know, interviews, things like that. Would you ever consider altering your lyrics for more mass appeal?
If we absolutely had to, and it'd be a good career move for us to if it made sense, we would do whatever we have to do. I mean, we're game players. Obviously, we still want to keep control of what we're doing and what we're saying. And if we really feel strongly against something, I don't care how much attention we'll get from changing our ways. If we feel strongly and passionately about something, we won't do it. But at the end of the day, it's a business. You have to treat it like a business. You have to be professional, and we'll take care of business when business needs to be taken care of.
So, of the album, there's four songs I loved, totally loved. Medicate, Love Like Ecstasy, actually five. Sober, Eyes, Cunt, and Revolution. Are there any tracks on this album that you particularly love?
Sober Eyes is my favorite one. I think that one, just when I first heard it, I was unsure of, like, is this an AOD track or is this just something that Human was working on previously? It was a little bit of both. He had already previously been writing it and working. I think Brandon might have worked with him a little bit. And I was unsure of it, but it came and I was like, whoa. And also, Nothing Remains. I fought Human for 4 years about that song and I fucking hated it. Absolutely hated it. And when we previously first heard it, I think most of us felt the same, like, where we're like, what the fuck is this? But after we got in the studio, he pushed me. Afterwards, I feel very confident with that track, and I'm very happy with it.
Mine was Gone Away. It was just really personal. It was supposed to be on the first album. It never ended up being put on there. They came back and went to it, and they fucking turned it into something 10 times better than what it was going to ever be. And, yeah.
It is very different than what you usually do.
Yeah, and that was, it was just, yeah, and it was just more personal. It was a really personal song, so.
Yeah. I'd say Gone Away as well. Just the fact that the entire album from beginning to end is a very raw and aggressive sound, and at the same time that it's a very mature style for American Overdose in general. Gone Away kind of, it kind of just glues everything together in a way where it's like you have to make peace with the fact that there's, like, the end, it's inevitable, and the way that it fades out is pretty cinematic, so it kind of, like, makes you feel like you have goosebumps. That's what I usually get when I listen to it.
I have to say, for me, mine is, I think Great American Dream. That kind of came together to have just this beautiful, you know, life to itself. It has, you know, the huge hooks, the big choruses that really kind of, you know, make it for me. At least play-wise, I absolutely love to play that song. It's, you know, just one of my favorites right there, just because of how big the chorus and everything when it hits. It's just nice and big and just
awesome.
Frankly, my favorite track is probably, it probably is Nothing Remains, and with a close second being Gone Away. Gone Away, ironically, was something that was originally from my own project a very long time ago, and then I saw some potential with AOD with it, and so that's where that came in.
Talk to me about recording, mastering. That is done by who?
So yeah, I did all the mastering, all the recording, engineering, mastering, pre-production. Brandon over there, he helped me with some of the editing and some of the recording process when I wasn't available to do the recording. But that was all painstakingly done by me.
So with your studio, do you guys just constantly record ideas and things like that, or do you take the time, you know, like a month period or a 2 month period, and sit down and just go for it?
Usually what happens is after we take a little break from, you know, finishing an album, Cody and I will just start, you know, setting up sessions, and he'll bounce ideas off me, and I'll, you know, interpret his ideas into whatever music I feel he intends to make with it. And we just kind of collaborate that way for most of the tracks, but we're going to make an effort on this album to kind of incorporate the other members a little more and get more of their ideas as well.
Me and Brick have been getting together, as well as Brandon, and we've messed around with stuff. I have a little, not as great of a studio, obviously, as Human. I have a little home studio that I can work with, and Human's helped me with getting MIDI instruments, and so is Brandon with getting things to be able to at least get ideas down, get them over to Human, and... The great thing about this band is that we have a lot of multi-instrumentalists in the band. Brick doesn't just play drums, he plays guitar, he can do keyboards. Human obviously can do keyboards, he can do drums, he can do the guitar. Brandon does the same thing, he does drums, he does guitar, he does bass. Like, it's a multi-talented band, and like Human said, the next step that we're going to go towards is we're just going to incorporate even more and just see what comes of it. I got to say that Human really stepped it up when you were mentioning about the sound. He went, and I'm not kidding you, when we took off on tour with Mushroom Head last year, he bought a new house, and he's like, I'm going to make the studio, and I'm like, well, have you ever done any construction? And he had no experience on that. Motherfucker, we come back, and before you know it, he's got this studio set up. I saw it when it was a garage / spare room, washroom, whatever, and he just totally rebuilt it. I was shocked, like a motherfucker. I'm like, how in the hell did you do this? And I was very impressed. And then when, you know, I started hearing the recordings that he did, he obviously upped his gear. But not only that, but his ear obviously has been developing, and like he said... We basically got all the different producers and albums that we are all influenced by, and he listened for that what it is that you like about that, and then incorporated that in the way that he interprets it and applied it to this album, and that's why you hear the big difference. When you hear the self-titled album to this, it's world's difference, not just the structure, but the sound-wise, and very impressive by Human. Fucking, he definitely killed it on this one.
Yeah, that's the thing I was struck by. It sounds expensive. I mean, it sounds really expensive.
There are two well-known producers and engineers that I really, honestly, kind of modeled my work and tried to feel like I could approach or even maybe occasionally do better, and that's Kevin Cherko, which we're all familiar with his work lately, and someone not everyone knows as much about but is on thousands of records that they love, and that's Chris Lord-Alge. Both of those people are... pretty big influences of mine. So anyone in the tech, you know, side of music is going to know those two names.
So AOD is getting a lot of press lately. I know that you had some magazine press that on one of the videos. Which video was it?
We got a lot on both of them, actually. Okay. We got, when Cunt came out, we got good, we got bad, we got mixed. And then the I Alone got a bunch of it too. The I Alone is the one that we really pushed. The Drillin' PR, we've been working with them. Very thankful for Maria, Natalie, and all them working really hard to push us and get us out there. The I Alone video got the most press. We went with, what was it, like 35,000 views within a month of it releasing, within pushing it. So we're hoping that the Letting Go video that we just shot is going to hopefully double or triple that, blow that one out of the water. Carl did a phenomenal job on that, and I don't know how we're going to top this next video. When we get done with it, honestly, it's gonna take some fucking like serious planning and thinking of scenes and effects and all that shit to
to overdo what I've seen so far of what we did yesterday. I just saw still shots, and we were all just, our jaws were dropped. We're tired as fuck, but our jaws were dropped. Me and Brick were sitting there like, what the fuck? Like,
we didn't respond for half hour.
Yeah, we didn't respond. We didn't respond for half hour, but yeah, we've been working with PR, and we realized that we hit almost a stump. Where, yeah, you're playing with national bands in your area, but a lot of those people choose the same shows. So we were playing in front of the same audiences, regardless if we're playing with Dope or Mushroom Head or we're opening up for Static X or Power Man. You're playing for the same audiences. So we're like, all right, what can we do to get outside of this stump that we're in? We invested in PR, and we have to spread through social media because we obviously don't have the means or the funds right now to travel on a constant basis. But yeah, that's where we are right now. We're gonna attack with social media. Touring, if we can get on big tours, great. I think we learned our lesson about touring on our own right now until we can actually make a name and bring at least 500 to 1,000 people a night per show. We're not gonna do it unless we're with a big name that we can be support on.
How do you feel about negative press? Is any press bad press?
I don't know if I should be the one to answer that. But for me personally, like I've learned negative press is still good press. I know everyone says that, but I take it personal because I put all my effort and everything into what I do. And so I take it very personal. But I've learned that, you know what, not everyone's going to like you. And you just have to accept that. And if they're talking about you, that's all that really, really matters.
That's the truth right there. I know that I personally read every single comment negative thing about us.
Haters are going to be everywhere. There's going to be haters everywhere, and if they're hating on you, obviously you're doing something right. It doesn't matter regardless. They've got that much passion to let you know how shitty you are, then obviously you got to them, and that's all we're trying to do. We're trying to reach out to those people. We're happy that even now, when we did, like Cody said, we got a lot of press on that last video. We got a lot of good reviews, a lot of bad reviews. But even with those bad reviews, those are people that had never heard of us, that had never seen us. It's perfect. That's what we're doing. We're shooting out and trying to just catch on to any little soul we can.
That's right. Negative press is basically just comedy, but at the same time, in the end, they're just helping out because, you know, whatever it is they say, even if it's, you know, like a 50-50, or if it's like full-blown assault on anybody that's involved in this whole entire thing, you know, it's still hilarious to read it.
So the one thing I'm going to say about that is Cody does occasionally get pretty emotional about it, but what people have to understand is when musicians get emotional when we get bad press, it's because half the people that are insulting a musician really don't know how much it takes to do this. It takes so much heart and soul, so much money, so much time to put, you know, this music out that people just don't appreciate nearly as much anymore. And to have someone disregard it so casually is just offensive. And no matter how much, you know, we can, you know, swallow it, it's still frustrating that someone would do something like that. So maybe occasionally Cody takes it a little too far, but he's never in the wrong. So maybe, you know.
We're all 90s kids, so yeah. You'd go buy the CD, and you'd go with your friends to the music store. You'd make an adventure of it, and you remember who you were with, what happened along the way. You stop at the 7-Eleven, get yourself a Slurpee on the way. Your parents are dropping you off to get your favorite CD. You saved up a couple of weeks' worth of money to get the CD. You listen it from front to back. You appreciate everything about it. Nowadays, you literally can go on YouTube. You do not need to pay for the album. And it's real easy to be like, oh, this is shit. Or skip through the tracks that are on YouTube already preloaded or on Spotify or iTunes or whatever. So people don't appreciate the hard work that goes behind it. They just think of it as, oh, this is the next song? Okay, I've been listening. Oh, I've heard this before. Click to the next one.
But we're not Juggalos.
We're not Juggalos. We have nothing. We have nothing against that group. We'll never fucking hate on them because we've done shows with them and their people are very accepting and we've made some good, crazy, fucked up memories playing with some of those acts. But yeah, we're definitely not Juggalos. So if you look at us and you're like, oh, it's a Juggalo band, and then you hear us, for you to call us a Juggalo act band or associate us with that group, you obviously didn't even listen to the goddamn song. You just looked at the image, and that's where you're fucking wrong. That's what's wrong with America nowadays, is that people are so quick to judge by the image. fucking take a look, a deeper dive inside and see what the fuck it's all about. Don't be so quick to judge by the look.
You guys recently were in Vegas, New York, and Seattle. Talk to me about some of the things that happened there.
Well, Vegas was... I did some interviews in Vegas, but they're over the phone. I was just there for kind of hanging out and just getting away from home. And then I went to L.A., and I did a couple of interviews out there over the phone as well. And then I met our manager, well, former manager, Brenda. She's kind of helping us now along the way, but she's not really involved in the music business right now. And she was actually... working with Waylon Revis as well.
So I saw you guys open up for Dope recently, and your intro piece that you guys did was hauntingly beautiful. Tell me about, talk to the people who aren't going to be here tonight. I assume you're doing it tonight as well. Talk to me about how that came to be.
It was actually a surprise. I told the guys I was going to make a new intro and something that would be appropriate for the new album, and kind of kept it under wraps until I had it finished. And I had a good friend of mine, Bria Renee, do the vocals. And for the people who aren't here, you're going to hear it on the record. But it is a rendition of the Star Spangled Banner in a minor and sort of post-apocalyptic manner. I specifically requested that she sing the melody as if she were disappointed. And so that's kind of where that went. And I had to, you know, I rewrote the melody for... you know, the vocals, and then wrote the music around it, and you know, that's just how it came about. And I showed it to them, and they were all super into it, and we decided to put it as an intro into the actual record.
It's very, very dramatic and really, really cool. You guys have a great appreciation for your fans. I've seen that over and over again. How important is it? I know Cody is, maybe especially, I do see all of your guys' posts, but Cody, you talk to the fans and you appreciate them, and you, how important are the fans to you on social media and in person?
You have to have that connection with the people, because the people are what make your band what it is. They want that experience. They want to feel special. They want you to remember their name. They want you to remember their face. They want to have that crazy memory with you. They want to take your picture with you, and want to be like, oh, I hung out with him when he did this or did that. Like, they want to be entertained. And if you make people feel special, they're going to be loyal to you. And it's really important, because people are spending their money and their time and whatnot to share your posts, to come to the shows, buy your merch. You know, especially when you're a band that's not on a label and you're paying for everything, and you have to sell merch for a higher price than what you normally would with the band that's getting mass production of merch. You have to appreciate every single person that comes out and that comes out and supports your band. Making that connection with those people, regardless of what you do, they'll be behind it 100%. And I think it's really important that you do remember the faces. You do go out there in people's faces, and you're hanging out and taking pictures and making jokes with them and giving them memories to remember you by, because the music is just part of what you're selling. The other is the image and the personality and everything that comes along with it, and the memories. So
we're fans of music in general. So when we go, we attend. When we're not playing on stage, we go and attend shows, and I wouldn't say we go fanboy on any of these any of the big bands that we look up to or anything like that, because we've been used to the environment. But at the same time, it's still really cool. You know, you meet somebody that you look up to and you've been listening to all these years, and you meet them. You know, it's the same thing. These people, that's all they want. You know, they just something as simple as, hey, how much you guys gonna charge to sign my album? We're not gonna charge you guys
anything. Shit.
We're not charging nothing. We'll give it to you for free. Just ask. You know, and that's just another thing is this group of people. We are just fun guys. We were down, Cody said, we were downtown in New York, and there's random people just coming up to us wanting pictures. And, you know, that's something, you know, it's different to us because we don't, you know, but hey, why not? You want a picture with us? Yeah, we'll give you a picture. We'll give you a signature, whatever, you know, we give them that extra experience. That's what they want, you know. If I know back in the day, I used to go crazy whenever I'd go see an awesome band. I'm a big Mudvayne fan, but meeting those bands and getting those signatures from those bands and stuff, you know, it means a lot to the people. It meant a lot to me at the time.
Talk to me about New York. I know you guys went in full costume. How did people react to you?
I'll let Brandon do that because Brandon was our fucking GPS out there. But it's very humid. All I can say is what the quote of the night was, or the time was, I got the Uber. I'll let these guys talk about New York because they...
Lots of people. Too many people.
New York definitely is an interesting place. You see it on TV as this large kind of a place and whatnot. But like when you actually step foot on the soil of New York City, it is much larger than you would ever anticipate. And it was kind of surreal for all of us that were there. Like, you know, are we actually really here? We live in this, like, dream now. So we wind up, you know, landing at the airport. And we're just like, oh, shit, this is going to be so awesome. We get to our hotel. We set up. Then we wind up the following day. We get into downtown at Penn Station. And we get ourselves upstairs for getting ready to go and do our interviews. We're standing in front of Madison Square Garden, like, holy crap. And then it just became a really fun trip in the end. We met New York City Police Department officers, awesome people. We got treated like celebrities, even though we weren't really, you know.
Fuse TV, Army of One, Latin Nation, American Latino. We're going to be on all those. People are going to see that. Here in the next couple of weeks. They've already given you guys a glimpse of the Army of One interview. All that's going to be out there. Look out for the Fuse TV interview. That should be pretty bitching.
Cool. We're going to do a part two of this real quick because you guys have a really special thing happening tonight. You've got a sixth special member that's a surprise that
yes.
I know he's headed on in here. So we're going
to... Oh, yeah. This is going to be sexy.
End it and we'll do part two here in a second. Part 2, American Overdose CD Release Party. So tonight you have a special guest, a special surprise guest all the way from Cleveland.
Motherfucking Waylon from A Killer's Confession.
Hell yeah.
How did that come to be? How'd that friendship come to be?
Fucking, Jeremiah Dimes here introduced us to his manager at the time, Brenda Neller from L.A. She got interested in us. We did a show with his former band and fucking she saw the pictures that he took, the pictures of us on that show. And fucking we just started talking. He became my vocal coach. We decided to get him on a song because we loved his fucking vocals and just developed a fucking awesome friendship.
So he's on, he does a track on this.
He's on Letting Go on the Great American Dream, and he's playing tonight. He's going to fucking do, he's going to perform tonight on the West Coast for the first time since he took a little break there. So we're super excited about that.
Yeah, that's awesome. So we're the only ones that get to see it.
Only ones, and we're videotaping it and fucking. For the fans. We did a music video last night. Already saw some of the still shots, and it looks fucking dark, evil, and
Let
crazy.
Me just say this right now. I associate myself with bands that are for the fans, made by the fans, and American Overdose is one of those groups. I will not associate myself with guys that try to make themselves out to be rock gods or better than thou or any of that bullshit. I only associate with true people and true artists that know what puts them there, and is fans. And if you can't get that in your head, don't come talk to me.
You've been here a couple days now. How are you liking our city?
I love Portland. Keep Portland weird, y'all. There you go.
So talk to us about what you've been up to, Waylon.
I took a year off. Once I left the band We Don't Mention, I went home. I worked with children, surprising enough. I did residential treatment and worked with children up till like the last month. And I've walked away from that to put my entire concentration onto A Killer's Confession, which is, you know, pretty much taking up all my time other than being out here. This is like my vacation, as they put it. They get my vacation out and come out here to Portland and get to sing a song, shoot a video, some really good friends and hang out. But, you know, the last year I've sat back and tried to decide, do I really want to come back? Do I want to stay home and continue to just do this and help children? Or is there still something left? And I'll be honest with you, I was at the point where I was like, I'm done. I'm walking away. I'm not going to do anymore. And then it's just like the last time that I did this, I got my last big break. And, when I get to that point where I'm ready just to close the book, close the door, become just dad, stay at home, it happened again. You know, just out of nowhere, this falls in my lap. And Killer's Confession, just seriously, I heard the music, and it was just like, let's do this. This is me. This is what I want to do. And my God, son, where the hell did you, where have you been? I found guys, and I'm not going to give their names out because we've not decided to do that yet, but I have two riders. The one's in Florida and one's in Illinois, and they absolutely, you know, they're not known, and they're guys that need somebody like me to find them and give them the proper opportunity to be heard, because they're too fucking good not to be. You know, it's like, and like I said, I'm appreciative of people, and I'm appreciative of artistry, and I'm appreciative of people that are not like, oh my god, you know how fucking good I am, you gonna suck my dick in the back. You know, I'm not about that shit. I'm about bands that, you know, that are humbled, that are gamers, that are nerds. I mean, this is nerd metal. I'm all about, you know, I'm all about Doctor Who and Harry Potter and any kind of Star Wars, Star Trek. I don't give a shit, man. If you're a nerd, you're welcome in my book. That's flat out. And, you know, that's why I think I like AOD so much. Look at these lovely nerds that are coming around. No, AOD's
not much of a nerd. In fact, he hates all my nerd shit.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. Well, I'll convert him. He's got it in him. He's just hiding it. His inner gamer will be brought out.
Hey, I'm a wrestling fan. I like Star Wars, so that's the start.
That's enough. That's enough for me. Welcome to the club. But I'm going to take this time right now to announce this, and AOD is right here. American Overdose track Letting Go will be a bonus track on Unbroken. AOD, it's the least I can do for you guys.
Dude, fucking thank you so goddamn much, and we feel very honored that you're here and you stuck around and fucking decided last minute, let me fucking do the show, and fucking I'll be on here, and we feel very fucking honored.
We're fucking excited to be here tonight and to have you a part of this for these people. It's going to be fucking awesome.
The video, the hanging out, the fucking memories, fucking Brick being the crow, the fat crow, fucking...
Fat crow! Tonight, you're performing the one song?
Yes, I'm performing the one song.
And do you have a mask?
No, but you get Ernest Whalen.
It's all right. You get Fat Crow, too.
You get Fat Crow and Ernest. No,
just celebrities up in this bitch right now.
AOD is AOD, and I am not a part of their group. I am no longer wearing a mask. I am no longer doing that. They understand I want to be Whalen, and I'm going to be Whalen. My voice is what is there. Not my face, not my look, not anything. The voice and the writing. They appreciate that. They understand that. And, you know, I appreciate it because a lot of people don't want to talk to me unless I throw the character Waylon in there. And it's like, that's a fucking character. And I'll burn his ass up in a fucking fucking gas barrel. He don't exist no more. These guys totally get that, and they're behind it. Like, they're the first band to actually come out. It's like, it's Waylon from A Killer's Confession, straight up. Like, there's no other, and this is Waylon. And that's what I'm here to do, is to be me.
So with A Killer's Confession, where can people watch what's going on with that?
You can go to A Killer's Confession on Facebook. You can find it. You can go to Waylon Revis page on Facebook. The official, got the stamp, got the check. I got the check. I'm certified. You can go there. We have a video teaser of behind the scenes. You can watch it there. Seriously, guys, this band has been together less than a month. We got a record deal within our first week being together. That's fast. And and trust me, I wish I could give you guys the scoop. I really do, but there's big news coming. And when you find out who's backing up A Killer's Confession, you're going to be like, holy shit, Waylon's coming out swinging. Yes, I am. Thank you, EMP, for getting behind me. Dave Ellison, you know, God bless you, brother. Man, I appreciate you bringing my life back to me and giving me an opportunity to have a platform to do what was in my heart. So, you know, I can really say thank you.
So, and can you tell us, I don't know if you can say yet, but can you tell us when we can hear A Killer's Confession?
You will be able to hear A Killer's Confession on October 31st. The single A Killer's Confession is the name of the track. A Killer's Confession will be out on iTunes. But if you go to empmerch.com and pre-order the album, you'll get that track 2 days early. On October 29th, you'll be able to get that. So
it's fucking worth it.
Oh, yeah. We've already heard it, luckily, and fucking it will fucking blow your goddamn mind. Waylon literally took all these different styles of voices that you know him from and
just amplified it,
turned up the fucking volume full fucking blast,
came in swinging, like he said.
And fucking you're gonna get a taste of everything that fucking Waylon has shown you, with a twist of shit that you may not have known that was in him. And fucking We've been blasting the track, and it's already stuck in my goddamn fucking head, you asshole.
Like a motherfucker.
You could be going home.
Feel my pain.
Goddamn you, Waylon. Why did I write that? But thank you guys for interviewing me and taking the time, and we will... Hey guys, you should have been here, because I would have drank with you and smoked with you, because... Keep Portland weird and smoke some dope. Have a good one.
Yes. American Overdose.
Smoke some dope.
Smoke some dope.
American Overdose, thank you so much for allowing us to have this exclusive interview. Waylon, it's a pleasure to meet you, and I cannot wait to see you guys tonight.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
We're super excited.